Today I'll be preaching from Psalm 20, verse 4. Psalm 20, verse 4. And it is my desire to do a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse. And so on Sunday nights, we are going through the book of Psalms. And we are up to Psalm 20. So what I'm doing now is to take a theme or an idea out of the study that we are going to have and use that for a sermon. So we are in Psalm 20 tonight in our Bible study, where we'll go through it verse by verse. But I want to take an idea from verse 4 for our reflection this morning. Verse 4 reads, "May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose." May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. You know, this is a crazy election season, right? Would you say? It's really a crazy election season. And so many persons are disappointed because they thought that the elected officials would be the answer to their problems. They believed that they could place their hope in these politicians. But many persons are realizing that politics is made up of liars. He said, all she does is lie. She said, all he does is lies with women. And persons are realizing how now that the word politician is just a synonym for liar. I came across this joke and I just have to share it. It's just incredible. Too funny. A bus overturned, the joke goes, with several politicians. So a farmer living nearby buried them. The next day, the police came to question the farmer. "So you buried the politicians?" the police said. "Were they all dead?" The farmer answered, "Officer, when me I buried them, you know, some of them ball out, say, me not dead, but you know them politicians are lies, so me never believe them." You know, if there is one thing that is certain in this world, is that you cannot place your trust in humans. You will depend on people and they will let you down. Let me see your hand. Have you ever depended on someone and they didn't come through? That ever happened to you yet? Happened to you? All right. Well, I have good news for you today. Good news for you. And I think God will have you to be in his house today to hear this message. You know, instead of looking to people, I think God wants you to more look to him. Look to him. Like a loving father, God is there wanting to just lavish good gifts on his children. God is available for you to depend on him. And God actually looks forward to you calling upon him. So Psalm 20 verse 4, or verse for reflection, says, "May he grant you according to your heart's desires and fulfill all your plans." God really wants to grant you your heart's desires and to fulfill your plans. I like what Chris Tomlin says. God is the good, good father. He's a good, good father that longs to care for his own. He loves at all times. He gives at all times. He cares at all times, provides at all times. When your basket runs dry, God will always supply. When others give up on you, God will never fail you. When men doubt your potential and don't believe in your future, God is a confidence booster. How great is the Lord in all the earth. No wonder the songwriter says, Jesus, Jesus, oh, I trust thee. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. And here is the killer line. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Let me tell you something else, brothers and sisters. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have been in church today. The church is the greatest place on the earth. And Jesus said in Matthew 18:24, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. The church represents the presence of God in the earth. People coming together in the name of the Lord, gathered in his name. And where God is, there is the abundance of his presence to meet your need. And so I say to you, for as long as you can and as often as you can, you should strive to be among people that are gathered in the name of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of fellowshipping and being with the people. You might now say to me, okay, Pastor, well, I hear what you are saying and I see where you are trying to go with your sermon. But how do I ensure that the Lord will grant me all my heart's desires and fulfill all my plan? Let me tell you how. The first thing, you have to make God your delight. You have to make him your delight. And sometimes repetition is reinforcement. Because I'm certain that for many persons, this is not new stuff. But God obviously believes that you need to hear this again. You need to make God your delight. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, delight in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Then why are you being bogged down so much with the cares of this world? You believe God don't see what is before you. You believe God doesn't know what you want? You believe God doesn't know what's the best thing for you? He says if you delight in him, he will give you the desires of your heart. God cannot be emphasized in your life only on Sundays and weekends. Every day of your life, you should have God in the foremost part of your mind. When you rise, you are thinking about God. Throughout the day, you are thinking about God. When you go to sleep, you are thinking about God. God just fills all of your light. And you just take delight in knowing who the Lord is. And you delight in the Lord further by honoring his word. You know that every home should have a Bible. I make no apologies for that. You know, when you check in into like a Holiday Inn, I am doing statistics on it, almost every single one of them have a Bible beside the bed in the Holiday Inns. And I say to myself, I thank God for businesses, corporate America, still valuing the word of God. And they are promoted by the Gideon Society. But I think, too, that every home should have a Bible. And your Bible should be somewhere prominent in your home. You know, there are many persons who have the Bible on the bottom of the bookshelf somewhere. And they have paper cover it over. And all kind of dust and cobwebs fill their Bible in their homes. And I heard one person, he was exaggerating a little, but you can get the point. And he says this, if all the Christians should take up their Bibles and blow the top of it, you will have a dust storm. But he's exaggerating, but he's trying to make the point that, you know, we are not spending time in the Word as we ought to. There are many persons, believe this or not, and listen to me carefully, there are many persons who give money, the money, paper money, more respect. Like, take this $1 bill here. There are many persons who actually give this money here more respect than the word of God. Let me tell you what I mean. You see, if their money drops, you know what they do? They take it up quickly. But many times, you go some places and the Bible is on the floor. The Bible is actually on the floor. Now, not only that, they don't allow their money to accumulate dust or cobweb. Every day they carefully check their money. Every day. They check how much money they have in the morning to see if they have enough to go to work. They check it at noon to see what type of lunch they're going to buy. They check it in the evening to ensure that they have enough to go home and buy gas on the way and a piece of bread. They when they go home, they check it to ensure that they have enough to give the kids for school the other morning. And before they go to their bed, they put together enough for the next day. They check how much money that they have every single significant part of the day. And what happens now, brothers and sisters, is that money has become so significant for them. Oh, money, 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 I have to get you and hold you and keep you close. Oh, money, you are the darling of my eyes. When I am sick, you pay for my medication. When I am sad through a psychologist, you pay for my frustration. And when I'm lonely, you pay for my PlayStation. It's true. Think about it. Don't you see, brothers and sisters, that money gets more respect than the word of God for many people. Many people. And Matthew 6:24 says this. No one can serve two masters. And Luke 16:13 says this. No one can serve two masters. And Joshua 24:15 says, choose this day who you will serve. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon there means money. It means wealth. It means property. And do you see what Jesus is doing with that statement? Jesus is saying, money is a rival to me. And it is fighting for your allegiance. And you cannot both serve God and serve mammon. You have to choose who you are going to serve. And I say that to say this, brothers and sisters. If you delight in riches, you are going to die poor. And live a life being pierced through with sorrow. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with sorrows. But if you delight in the Lord, he will grant you the desires of your heart. The dichotomy is very clear. God gives, or you are going to work for your own, so to speak. God wants to give, or you are going to be autonomous and say, I want to get my own. God wants to give. He wants you to depend upon him to give, or you are going to think and say, I have to make my way my own self. The writer is saying, make God your delight. Honor his word, take it, and obey it. For if you do that, he will give you the desires of your heart. That is very significant. And by the way, you cannot work enough in this life to satisfy all the desires of your heart. You just can't do it. Because there are some things that are just beyond what you can work for. And I tell you the truth, there are many persons who struggle with this. If I should even spend more time in God's word, if I should dedicate my life fully to him to a greater extent, how will I survive? But God promised to take care of those who trust in him. And this is something I strongly believe as pastor of this church. We are going to take in God's word and obey it. You see? So when you come to worship here on a Sunday, the focus is going to be on the word of God. Strongly on the word of God. We have communion as part of our service. According to Acts 20:7, Paul said, on the first day of the week, when they gathered, they broke bread. You see. So we do have communion. We collect tithes and offering in this church to advance the work of God, because Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth. and with the first fruits of all your produce. And 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And that is a strong word against the prosperity gospel, who just fleece people. For God loves a cheerful giver. We sing in this church because 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm. And the psalms, as we have learned, are songs. And songs were done in the early church. So everything that we do in this church will be because we make God our delight. Because I know that if we honor the Lord, He will give us the desires of our hearts and fulfill all our plans as a church. Make God your delight. Make God your delight. Honor His word. Yes, respect the Bible. I'm not making the Bible an idol. I'm saying, no, respect it. It's not just a book. It's the word of God. And you know my pet peeve. I don't necessarily like the comment in the Bible. Comment on God's word in the Bible. If you want to write a commentary, put it in another book. Some persons even put their commentary in between the verses. No, oh, I think you're getting too close now. This is the word of God, and you are a mere man trying to understand the word of God. But I understand the fruitful purpose. Some persons, they read a verse, and they want to look down at the bottom of the page and see what it means. I understand that. But it's not my best or my first preference. It's the word of God should be separate and just untouched and highly honored. Write a commentary in another book. We respect the Bible. It's not making it an idol, but just putting it back at a place of significance. Did you know in some homes, the Bible has to be placed in a place where when you walk into the home, you just know what's significant. They put it like, it's like the centerpiece for their home. And in certain religions, by the way, it has to be on top of every book. Like they deliberately put it on top of every book because they want to send a message that this thing is very important. And I say to you, brothers and sisters, do not trifle. Do not take light. Don't say, oh, we are under grace. Yes, we are under grace. But still respect the word of God. Amen. Treat it with a level of dignity. Take out the dog ears off your Bible page. No, but I understand. But work, you know, you want to really treat it with a level of respect. And if you see someone dishonoring the word, tell them, no, don't dishonor. Don't just throw the Bible like that and just treat it any way. No, it's the word of God. And I'm just begging, I'm pleading with you. Let us try to restore the sanctity and dignity that it deserves. It's not just a Bible. It's the word of God. May He grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill your purpose. So the first thing I suggest to you, make God your delight. And the second thing I want to suggest to you is to trust Him. Trust Him. Have you ever seen this or heard of the story William Tell? I haven't read that story in such a long time, but I can recall it probably from grade 4. And I recall that story, how they really set him up. But if there's one thing that you probably get from that story, is that there had to be some form of confidence and trust between either William and his son. They had to have some form of trust. And the same thing comes out in the story in Genesis 22 with Isaac. And when it was time for Abraham to sacrifice his son, you realize that if there's one thing that Isaac did was to trust Abraham. And when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed 3 times and he said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. You see, he was in severe agony. And Luke, who was a doctor, said that it was so agonizing for Jesus that he was really sweating. And his sweat became like drops of blood. But you know what Jesus said? Yet not what I will, but thy will be done. What he's saying, I am exercising complete trust in your plans for my life. So to trust the Lord is to believe that he has total control over your future. To trust the Lord is to know that your tomorrow is already taken care of by him. To trust the Lord is to know that all that's on my plate, all that's in front of me right now, God sees and he knows and he will see to my success. Proverbs 3 verse 5 is a very popular one. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall what? Direct your paths. And I like what Elder Blackwood said the other day. He said, notice that it says paths, not path. It is plural. Wherever you decide to go, whatever road you take, God will ensure that you walk successfully. God will never let you down, brothers and sisters. And God wants you to let go of all the other things or persons that you are placing confidence in and to put your trust in him. Here is a passage for you to read when you finish your dinner this evening. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Does anyone know what the opposite of blessing is? Curse. Curse. Hear what the Lord says in Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. And I want you to pay very careful attention to the these couple of verses here. I pick up at verse 5. Thus says the Lord, curse is the man who what? Who? Pick it up with me, brothers and sisters. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. Curse is the man who? Trusts in man. And what? And makes flesh his strength. Whose heart do what? Turns away from the Lord. Now, that is very significant. This goes right back to Luke 16 and verse 13. You cannot serve God and anything else. If you place your trust in man, your heart have departed from the Lord. Your life will be filled with misery and agony if you put your confidence in your abilities or in the abilities of other people. Heed the warning of the word of the Lord, brothers and sisters. I tell you, you won't hear this on CNN or Fox or BBC. But I tell you the truth, the word of God really tells you how it goes. It says, if you put your confidence in man, you are in some serious trouble. Serious trouble. Watch verse 6. It gives the result. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. What happens to the person that placed their trust in man? Evil. Evil. The desert is not a good place. The desert is just heat and barrenness. Everything you do in your life is going to be like sowing a seed in a desert when you place your trust in man. It must die. Like a shrub in the desert, it dries up. But there is another course in life to take, and this is verse 7. It says this, but what? But what? Verse 7. Work with me, brothers and sisters. Verse 7 says, blessed is the man who what? Who trusts in the Lord. And trusting in the Lord is to hang all your hopes in him. And whose hope is in the Lord? For he shall be like what? Like a tree that is planted by the waters. Which what? Which spread its what? Its roots by the river. You know what it is saying here? You will forever be sustained. And then it continues. And will not what? Fear when heat comes. If there is one thing you don't like in the desert is heat. And then it continues. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. nor will cease from yielding its fruit. So Jeremiah puts up two pictures for us. And he's saying, choose. You have the desert, or you have a tree that is planted by the river. If you place your trust in man, you are like that shrub in the desert. Barrenness, heat, dryness. You are, if you have seen the Sahara Desert in Africa, parts of Africa, it's just a place that you don't want to be. But imagine a tree that is planted by rivers of waters, and its leaf is just lush and green. And when you're ready, you can cast a line and bring up a fish, because the river signals that there is food. But in the desert, there is no food. And he's saying, if you place your faith in man, death. But if you place your trust in the Lord, life. So you have to choose. Do you want a life of death, which is really no life at all? Or you want to live a life of life? If you place your trust in man, brothers and sisters, you will be living for the rest of your life in the heat of the desert, without any shade. But if you place your faith in the Lord, you will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of waters. If only we get this and believe this and live this daily, you will have shade and something to drink when you want, because the river is right there. Psalm 20, verse 4. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. My prayer is that God will do this for every one of you, but the ball is in your court. And I close by saying this. One, will you delight in the Lord, honor his word, respect his word, and you honor his word fully by taking it in and living it out? Will you trust in him, secondly? Commit your life to him, deal everything. There's nothing you could imagine that God has not already thought of. There's nothing that could happen in your life that's beyond God's control, beyond God's power to help. But will you commit your life to him and depend on him to make a way out? And this is the refrain and the topic of my sermon. If you delight in the Lord and if you commit to him, man, he will satisfy your every single one of your heart's desires and fulfill all your plans. So are you willing to say, my God, you are my everything? That's the question I leave you to answer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.